hallowed be thy name. We thank thee again for this the privilege of coming here in assembly to hear thy words spoken from this pulpit. We thank thee for the helps that these things will bring to us in our daily lives as we go to our several homes from this meeting. Guide and strengthen and keep each one close to thee. Bless all of thy dear people, whoever and wherever they may be, especially be with those that are in beds of sickness, those that are isolated, and those that are in special trials and difficulties. Comfort and encourage each one. Now help us that we might more and more imbibe thy spirit, that we might be rightly exercised thereby. Now bless our brother Alan, that he might give us words of wisdom, that we might continue to serve thee more faithfully. Guide and strengthen and keep all of thy dear people, whoever and wherever they may be. In Jesus' dear name we ask you. Amen.
Well, dear brethren, we come to the next to last service of the day. And through the Lord's providences, we again have Brother Alan McAllister who's willing to serve us on the subject of endurance. Endurance. May the Lord bless you richly.
Thank you, Brother Lou. Brother Chambers told us about don't lose your keys. Our poor Brother Stuart lost his voice. Not much we can do about it, but I wish it was him standing up here instead of me. But we certainly have been enjoying the convention, and the lessons of from the brethren have certainly been helpful. We've come to the last discourse, and then I guess the convention echoes will be your part of the program. But we'd like to take our lesson from the Epistle James, the first chapter, verses 2-4. Going to depart a little bit from my New American Standard Bible translation, and this time read from the 20th century New Translation. James, first chapter, verses 2-4. My brothers, whatever may be the temptations that beset you from time to time, always regard them as a reason for rejoicing, knowing as you do that the testing of your faith develops endurance. And let endurance do its work perfectly, so that you may be altogether perfect and in no respect deficient. Now in your King James Bible, you will note that we use the word patience here. Our English word patience has the thought of bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint, or manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. And we could have or we have noticed various manifestations of this, and perhaps a store clerk being very patient with an obnoxious customer, or you could have an obnoxious customer on the phone or whatever. And here, you know, you might have been that clerk. We hope it wasn't you that was the obnoxious customer. Now, being patient in this case is having your emotions under control, even though that you may be seething inside, but you have your emotions under control. This is manifesting or showing forbearance under provocation or strain. And I'm sure that you can think of many other instances, but this isn't the patience. This is not the patience that James is writing about. The Greek word here is Strong's number 5281. 5281. And Strong's defines it as cheerful or hopeful endurance, constancy. Another definition would be first about endurance is the ability to withstand hardship or adversity or stress. Constancy is defined as steadfastness, steadfastness of mind under duress. Now, Young's concordance is much the same as Strong's. Endurance, continuance, which is the act or process of continuing in a state, condition, or course of action. You may say, well, there does not seem to be much difference between our English word patience and the definition of endurance that we had mentioned before. Where do we find most of our definitions as it applies to the truth, but from the words of that wise and faithful servant, the man with the writer's inkhorn? And so, Brother Russell wrote three good articles on this subject. One in 1901, and that's reprint 2790. Another in 1911, which is 4909. And in 1915, reprint 5650. Now we would like to quote from this last article, 5650. Brother Russell wrote, "In the New Testament, there are two Greek words translated patience. One of these words signifies forbearance, long-suffering. The other carries the thought of cheerful or hopeful endurance. The latter is the word used in our text, James 1:4, and has a much deeper significance than attaches ordinarily to our word patience. This constancy, the endurance of evil in a cheerful, willing manner, represents an element of character and not merely a temporary restraint of feeling or action. It signifies a development of heart and character which manifests itself in an endurance of wrong or affliction with contentment, without rebellion of will, with full acquiescence in the requirement of divine wisdom and love, which while permitting present evils has promised in due time to overthrow them." The end of the quotation. We have here then a definition for the consecrated, for those who have been begotten of God's Holy Spirit. The natural mind, our old mind, would have us be patient for the sake of propriety, good manners, and etiquette. But in the meantime, we are seething and fuming inside. And this is one instance where the battle with the flesh comes in. If we have received God's Holy Spirit, we will strive to develop this element of character that will enable us to endure a wrong or an affliction, or a trial, with contentment. We call to mind the words of the Apostle Paul to the Romans that we oftentimes hear quoted by the nominal Christian as well as by our brethren, and we know that all things work together for good, and many times that's all that we hear that's quoted. And we know that all things work together for good who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Do we believe it? We could have experiences, many of us do. There's been brethren that have been confined to bed for years and years. Should we find ourselves unable to keep up a house that we'd lived in all our life and go to a nursing home or some minimal care facility, would we believe what the Apostle Paul wrote? Would we grumble and complain about our lot, question, why was this happening to us? Would we believe that God had forsaken us? And then become a miserable, complaining, whining person that evokes a like attitude to others who have contact with us? I think we've all heard or known of both situations. But what a pleasure and a blessing it is to meet with brethren who are undergoing severe trials, and yet it is apparent that this element of character, endurance, cheerful endurance, is manifested, willingly accepting their lot and rejoicing that this affliction is but for a moment. You know, this was also brought out in our convention about the glory to follow with the Lord. What can we compare with it? Nothing. Looking forward to the heavenly promises and the joys in eternity with our Lord. And when we call to mind the attitude, the submissiveness to the Lord, the spirit that is manifested in these dear ones, they certainly have been and are an example that has helped me, and I'm sure that it has helped others to remember our consecration vows, and has contributed to the building up of our faith. We often use another illustration, the School of Christ. The school is a progressive institution. The School of Christ, from the babes in Christ to the mature Christian. It's a learning experience. Not only book knowledge, but a practical, hands-on experience. You often hear of co-op schools. Well, this is it. It's hand-on experience and book learning, too. It goes together. These experiences we get not only from our brethren, but also from the world. We had mentioned before about the Apostle Paul, and again, Brother Boychuk quoted the 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27 about the Apostle Paul speaking of his walk, his running, his experience. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Note verse 25 in particular. In the King James, it reads that every man is temperate in all things. Now, temperate is a poor translation. We read from the New American Standard Bible, which translates this word self-control. Self-control. And this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. The new mind or will has control or must have control over our body and the old will. The Apostle Peter in his letter, 2 Peter, the first chapter, lists seven elements of character that must be added to our faith. And we note verse 6, the 2 Peter for the first chapter, the 6th verse, where the word temperance and patience are used in the King James version of the Bible translation. You might like to follow along with me as I read from the 20th century New Testament, beginning with verse 5. Yes, and for this very reason, do your best to supplement your faith by goodness, goodness by knowledge, knowledge by self-control, self-control by endurance, endurance by piety, piety by brotherly affection, and brotherly affection by love. So we see here that the Apostle Peter relates self-control and endurance. It is a good relationship. As we develop self-control over our old will, we more and more develop the constancy, the endurance, the cheerful endurance that is necessary for us to continue faithfully in this school of Christ until death, until our graduation. The Apostle Paul wrote that he buffeted his body. He did not literally strike himself with his fists, but he mentally contended with the old man, the old will, and did not allow the old man, the earthly will, to gain control. A good illustration from the Apostle that is certainly applicable to the church at this end of the age. Endurance. Strong's 5281. This is a word that is found 32 times in the New Testament. 29 times it is translated patience in the King James translation. It is an important word to us, and when it is correctly translated, we are able to appreciate the necessity of developing this element of character. Our Lord used this word in the parable of the sower in Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 15, Luke 8:15. Where he explained, and the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with steadfastness. Yes, with a steadfastness of mind, constancy, patient endurance. This is the character of the seed falling on the good ground. In Luke, the 21st chapter, verse 19, Luke 21:19, we have the record of our Lord again using this word endurance. And here I like the Revised Standard Version translation. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Now remember the context. Our Lord was telling his disciples about the time in which we live and the circumstances that would exist. Tribulations, the abundance of sin, and assuring them that the true church would be completely under his protection, and that their patient endurance, their cheerful constancy, steadfastness, even unto death, would assure them victory. In reprint 2791, the pastor poses the question as to the necessity for patient endurance, and answers by stating that this patient endurance is one of the conditions, remember the conditions we spoke about earlier, conditions that God had attached to the call to joint heirship in the kingdom. He calls our attention to the kingdom work to be done by the church beyond the veil of blessing all the families of the earth, and he uses an illustration of a diamond to represent Christian character that would be patient and would be cheerful endurance even unto death. We mentioned before of the school of Christ, the element of patient endurance must be developed before we can graduate by passing beyond the veil as a more than conqueror. The pastor wrote, "A transitory endurance of one or two or three brief trials would not prove the person to have established character for righteousness, but a patient, cheerful endurance, even unto death, would prove and demonstrate such a character." In the next paragraph, Brother Russell used the illustration of a diamond. You know, today man has succeeded in making an imitation diamond. Many of you may have received some literature. We received one that offered us a free 1-carat diamond. Except it was a cubic zirconia diamond, zirconium oxide. But it was described, and remember that this wasn't available in Brother Russell's time, but here you have a ring that looks like a diamond, and the advertisement said, flash it proudly in front of your family and your friends. It has the same brilliance of expensive, genuine diamonds, so ablaze with beauty and radiance, even many jewelers are unable to tell the difference. I don't think I'd want to buy from that jeweler, but... But the point is that it is not a diamond. It does not have the hardness of a diamond. So after Brother Russell described his fake diamond that could not be produced in 1901, he wrote, "Would they, these imitation diamonds, have the value of the diamond?" Well, they offered this one free, a whole 1-carat diamond to us. By no means would it have the same value, and so with the Christian. If we could suppose him possessed of every grace of character that could possibly belong to the sons of God, except this one of firmness, of endurance, he would not be fit to be numbered amongst the Lord's jewels. Hence the The Lord's demand is that the quality of firmness, cheerful endurance of whatever His providence may permit, shall be characteristic of all those who will be fit for the kingdom. Endurance. Cheerful, patient endurance. It is a necessity. It is important. The Apostle Paul uses this word on several occasions. We would like to look at the Apostle's letter to Titus. Titus, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2. From the Diaglot translation. But do thou inculcate things proper for wholesome instruction, that aged men, advanced Christians, be vigilant, serious, prudent, sound in the faith, in love, in patience, endurance, patient, cheerful endurance. In this letter, we note that the apostle lists endurance as the final characteristic of the advanced Christian. It would be the final test. Now, coming back to the Apostle Paul's letter to Timothy, we have another example of his usage of this word endurance. We find this in 2 Timothy 3, 10, and 11. Again, the 20th century New Testament. But you, Timothy, were a close observer of my teaching, my conduct, my purposes, my faith, my forbearance, my love, and my patient endurance, as well as my persecutions, and of the sufferings which I met with at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Again, note the order of the elements of character are the same as in his letter to Titus. Patient endurance follows that of love. Now, Brother Russell does not minimize or contradict the thought that love is the fulfilling of the law and the mark of the prize of our high calling. In this article that we had referenced, he goes on to say that patient endurance must be with us, be developed progressively, that is, to become stronger and stronger as we journey through the four quarter marks of our journey. And then the pastor writes, And when we have reached this mark of the race in which we love not only our friends but our enemies, it is required of us that we shall stand up to the mark faithfully, cheerfully, patiently enduring the tests which the Lord will even then see proper to let come upon us. Hence it is that the apostle exhorts us, having done all, stand, endure. Having reached the mark, let patient endurance have her perfect work, or perfect her work. Let patient endurance demonstrate not only that you have the character, the qualifications of love demanded in the race for the prize, but also that you have it as an element of character, deep-rooted, immutable, so that you can endure oppositions cheerfully. The end of the quotation. And so we can see the necessity for patient endurance. Patient and cheerful endurance. Let's now turn to the epistle to the Hebrews. chapter 10, verses 35 to 36. Hebrews 10, 35 to 36. Do not therefore abandon the confidence that you have gained. That is, the faith, the trust, the knowledge. For it has a great reward awaiting it. Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And no wonder it is taking almost 2,000 years to select 144,000 members for the body of Christ. Those who can be trusted with life on the highest plane of the universe, eternal, everlasting, immortal life. Let's continue with the apostle's word to the Hebrews, verse 36. You still have need of patient endurance in order that when you have done God's will, you may obtain the fulfillment of His promise. Yes, patient endurance, cheerful endurance, brought forth the seed that fell on the good ground by the parable of the sower of Luke 8:15. Also, by your endurance, remember, your patience, cheerful endurance, you will gain your lives. Luke 21:19. How can we develop and improve this element of character, patient, cheerful endurance? Obviously, the most important way is by prayer. And the familiar definition, you may recall, is that prayer is the soul's sincere desire uttered or unexpressed. We pray for a greater measure of God's Holy Spirit. We offer prayers of thanksgiving. In the development of our character, and especially with patient, cheerful endurance, perhaps we have had a victory over the flesh in the handling of the situation. We should go to the Lord in prayer thanking Him for the victory and pray that we may be humble, kept humble and watchful, that this victory may not work to develop an attitude of pride in us. Pray that we may indeed keep faithful, humble, cheerful, delighting to do the Lord's will. If our Christian walk is burdensome and a task or a chore to us, then we are in serious trouble. Another way to cultivate cheerful, patient endurance would be by growing in the knowledge of God. In Proverbs, the second chapter, verse 6 comes to mind, Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Remember also our Lord's prayer to the Heavenly Father as He prayed for His followers, the church, as recorded in John, the 17th chapter, especially verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. The true knowledge of God will act to set apart and make holy. Our study of sanctification has taught us that it is of two parts. Man's part of entire consecration and God's part of entire acceptance. And it has the additional feature of being progressive. It lasts a lifetime. Remember the words of our Lord to Satan when he tried to tempt our Lord in the wilderness, Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We have just touched on the importance of the knowledge of God. So to know, to become knowledgeable of our Heavenly Father and His Son and our Lord and Savior, to learn of His divine plan of the ages, to learn of His wisdom, His justice, His love, and His power is to increase our faith and increase our cheerful, patient endurance, our constancy to hold steadfast to our walk in the narrow way. Now, by increasing our faith is another way that we can grow in cheerful endurance, to grow in constancy, steadfastness. A final point on how we can develop patient endurance would be to recognize the time element in God's plans. How could this knowledge accomplish this? We are blessed by living at the end of the age and being able to recognize the parousia, the invisible presence of our Lord. To be able to recognize this fact helps us to realize that God's time is not our time, that His plans fail not, that they all happen at the proper time, His time. To recognize this is to wait upon the Lord, cheerfully endure, continue with constancy in the race course. We have been blessed by meat in due season in this last stage of the church to have a solid understanding of the times and seasons is to strengthen our faith and to add to our faith this element of endurance, cheerful, patient endurance, so that we will be able to stand in this evil day. This day when our Lord said that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Think about that. Do we have all our armor on? Are we maintaining that armor? Are we on guard for all the foes of the new creation? Another gem from the pen of that wise and faithful servant, Brother Russell, on this point is found on page 5652 of the reprints, column 1 at the top. Those who have kept the Lord's word of patient endurance, who have sought from Him the wisdom from on high, which is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy of entreatment, full of mercy and of good fruits, have learned that He has a due time in which His purposes shall be accomplished, and they are willing to abide His time patiently, knowing that it is best. They have learned that God's plans, like lilies white unfold, we must not tear the close shut up leaves apart. Time will reveal the hidden heart of gold. We will conclude with the words from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 to 3. Again, this will be from the 20th century New Testament translation. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Seeing therefore that There is on every side of us such a throng of witnesses. Let us also lay aside everything that hinders us and the sin that clings about us, and run with patience, and run with patient endurance the race that lies before us. Our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the leader and perfect example of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured the cross, heedless of its shame, and now has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Weigh well the example of him who had to endure such opposition from men who were sinning against themselves, so that you should not grow weary or faint-hearted. Wonderful words from the Apostle Paul that is certainly applicable to the church at this time. May we endure, and the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Allen. Appreciate those words. Cheerful, patient, endurance. Something we all have to work on a daily basis till the end of our course. May we all remain faithful. Well, we've enjoyed the lessons from the platform. Various doctrinal, admonitional, upbuilding discourses that we've had. And yet there is more. We have one more convention echoes, basically a testimony meeting as to how you have been blessed during the convention. Anything that you might feel you need to let the other brethren know in your hearts, how the Lord has blessed you. And that will be it from 6 to 7:30. From 4 to 6 now, we'll have our dinner. And I suspect it's just about ready. And we'll close and ask Brother Allen to ask a blessing on the temporal portion after the singing of hymn 125. 125. And we'll remind the brethren to take their books off the tables, too.
Thank you.
We pray that thou would keep us in the hollow of thy hand, that thou would help us to endure patiently. Help us walk this Christian walk in a way that will be acceptable to thee, to walk in the footsteps of thy dear Son more accurately and with a zeal and an earnestness. Forgive us when we fall short of doing thy will. We thank thee, too, for these 3 days of convention in which we have been able to sit at thy feet in